on the 1 yard line with their backs against the wall.
This ain't a game to me. If you think it's a game, get the fuck off of this bus.
Sorry for the technical difficulties, but this is take two of the Believe in Iowa State podcast. I'm your host, Tyler Carter.
I'm your host, Cody Van Ciel.
Cody, I'm glad you got the audio issues figured out. But man, what a game, man. Iowa State beats KU by 17 points, 74-57.
Yeah, this was one of those games where, it never felt like Iowa State was going to lose this game. Kansas, like, even when Kansas got within a puncher's chance, there were multiple times where Kansas was able to cut the score down to one possession, but Iowa State always was able to find a way to keep Kansas at an arm's length and just continue to just run offense when they needed a bucket. They got one, and they just kept that, like, 5 to 6 point cushion against Kansas, and eventually late in the game, Kansas that got worn out, and Iowa State was just able to run away with the game and ultimately win that game by 17.
Yeah, man, it's literally unbelievable that Zeke Mayo was the only guy that was in double figures for them. 17 points. Everybody else either had 8, 6, or 4 points.
Mm-hmm. And I mean, early on, like Zeke Mayo, like, and those who are familiar with the name Zeke Mayo, he was on the South Dakota State Jackrabbit squad that played against Iowa State in March Madness last year. So. Very familiar name. But outside of him, there's not really much production outside of him. I mentioned DeJuan Harris had 8 points as a starter. Hunter Dickinson only 6, and KJ Adams only 4. That 4 points is a little skewed just because KJ Adams did at one point go out of the game with what was said to be a shoulder injury. I don't know if that was either Coach Phil's self, but it has been mentioned that KJ suffered a shoulder injury during the game, so that's why he was out for a good amount. But, yeah, you look at the rest of the Kansas squad, this offense just, it looked like what we saw in Cincinnati. Granted, there was a little better shooting, but they just couldn't keep up with Iowa State, ultimately.
Yeah, man, it just seemed like, you know, and one of the keys was getting Hunter Dickinson and, what's his name? And a Flory Badunga in foul trouble. They were in foul trouble the entire game, and I think that gave us an advantage in dominating the paint.
Mm-hmm. I mean, and in the paint, there was a little bit of a like the lineup for Iowa State looked a little different starting wise. Obviously, we had the injury to Milan Momcilovic reported during practice mm-hmm. this week, so he was out with a non-dominant hand injury, which set. The men's basketball Twitter did say be out indefinitely, but looks from the sounds of TJ Altenberger, he'll be out 4 to 6 weeks. It just depends what comes out of the MRI scans. Sounds like Milan is getting a scan today or tomorrow, but we'll get an update as that happens. But Milan being out, and then also DeSean Jackson coming off the bench this game due to missing a mandatory film session. So in his place, Brayton Chatfield started, and I mean, it looks like we didn't miss a beat. Did not miss a beat with both Milan and DeSean not starting.
It's unbelievable, man. Like, it's just like, it's that next man up mentality, and it seems like they don't miss a beat at all. Like, obviously, we had that next man up mentality in football, and you saw that it was hurting us, but for basketball, it's just like, this team has just so much depth, and like, even Damarian Watson got some time, and he actually had a huge block in the game, which ended up resulting in a huge play. So kudos to him for still, you know, keeping his head up, and like, when his number is called, he's ready to play.
Yeah, he had not just that block, but he also had 5 rebounds in about 10 minutes on the court. Had a couple of nice offensive rebounds and then getting some crucial defensive rebounds to keep Kansas away from really closing the gap or getting over the hump.
Yeah, man, I really, really like his game. I'd look for him to get more minutes in the upcoming games. But let's also just talk about Curtis Jones, man. Curtis Jones, I just think, really should be getting at least some player of the year looks, because just what he's been doing just like the past, what, 5, 6, 7 games now? Like, it's been, the consistency has been there for him, and then he's just hitting logo threes, the one that he hit like basically near the end of the game. It's absolutely amazing what he's doing right now.
For sure, yeah. Curtis Jones being inserted to the starting lineup for just the second time, and I mean, he came out swinging. That he had first half points, and he was half of Iowa State's offense in that first half. Now, he did cool off, like, and only got 5 points in the second half. But I mean, in the second half, he didn't really need to shoot, like, score much, because everybody else on the lineup stepped up. Whether it was Taman Lipsey hitting a crucial three, or Joshua Jefferson getting down in the paint, or DeSean Jackson getting a few offensive rebounds and getting those free throws. DeSean Jackson shot a good amount of free throws, and he was knocking them down. He was 9 for 11 from the charity stripe. So seeing big men hitting their free throws, it's a great thing to see for Iowa State fans.
It is a great thing to see, and like just the production that he had at 17 points in 20 minutes is absolutely, it's spectacular.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, he brought the energy, and I mean, TJ commended DeSean for stepping up to the challenge, like after missing that mandatory film session, which resulted in DeSean coming off the bench for this game. He challenged DeSean to respond in a positive way, and certainly looked like DeSean Jackson did.
Definitely did. And then Joshua Jefferson with a big game, maybe not in the points department, but definitely rebound. 12 defensive rebounds, 3 assists. He had a solid game yesterday in 34 minutes of play.
Yeah, another double-double for Joshua Jefferson.
Yeah, man. And then Brant Chatfield with that huge lob at the end. And then two big steals. Taman Lipsey with 3 steals. Curtis Jones with 2 steals. So this team is just doing what they do best, playing well in transition.
Mm-hmm. And yeah, I mean, the turnovers, like we talk about those steals, that was the difference when it came to turnovers, because both Iowa State and Kansas did turn the ball over. They were in double digit turnovers. The key was for Iowa State was, even though they were turning the ball over, which you don't want to do, those most of the time were dead ball turnovers, whether they were like travels or a bad pass out of bounds, just tips or whatever. Kansas was never really able to get points off of the turnovers because they were mostly dead ball turnovers. And even there were times that they did get a live ball turnover, Iowa State comes down and they get their defense, like the defense in transition, they were able to limit Kansas's opportunities off the turnovers. And then they would even get the ball right back from Kansas. It was just a matter of capitalizing off of the turnovers, and Iowa State did a much better job of doing so with 23 points off turnovers versus 14 for Kansas.
Yeah, man. So, that's a great, great win for Iowa State. Iowa State moves to 5-0 in conference. And you'd think you'd be like, okay, yeah, Iowa State 5-0. But we still have 2 other teams in this amazing conference that are 5-0 as well. So let's look at the other scores that happened. Houston got a win yesterday over West Virginia.
Houston and West Virginia. I was not really able to watch like as much of it because I was literally at the Iowa State Kansas game.
Right.
But from what I saw, there was a point in time in the second half where West Virginia, they cut the, because they were originally down 13 at the half, but they were able at one point to cut Houston's lead down to 3. But from there, Houston just went on a rampage. They ended the game with a 19-6 run and ultimately put away the West Virginia Mountaineers. A feisty group of Mountaineers, but yeah, Houston continues to protect home court. Still look like one of the best. They look like one of the best defenses in the country. They still look like one of the best teams in the Big 12. And I think Houston's done a great job outside of that even rebounding from that questionable, like when people had questions about Houston in the non-con with the losses that they suffered, Houston has gone on to rattle 8-9 straight and put themselves in a really great position to still be a contender in the Big 12. And ultimately, I think it's them and us that are still the leading horses in the Big 12 race.
I completely agree, Cody. Like, and when you referred to them being down by three, that was precisely at 12:36 in the second half, and then after that was, you said they went on a 19-6 run, which is absolutely crazy. But you know, Houston plays that stifling defense, so it's going to be fun to see. You know, we still got like about, let's say, a month and 6 days specifically until that showdown at Fertitta. So I'm really, really looking forward towards that. But we also have another team that's 5-0. We have the Arizona Wildcats, who have moved to 5-0. And with them, they moved to, the way they moved to 5-0 is a 81-70 win over Baylor. And I believe this game was on Monday night.
Yeah, this was one of those like very late night games. Take a look here. Yeah, this or that two. I thought it was, yeah, it was, it says 13th, so that would have been Tuesday.
It's Tuesday, yeah.
Yeah. But Arizona, I mean, we talked about Houston in the non-con. Arizona in the non-con did not look too great. Now, granted, all their losses are considered quad one losses, but 4 and 5, there were talks early about Arizona. Could they hang in the Big 12 with the way they looked against Wisconsin and Duke and then UCLA? There were people were talking about, can Arizona really hang in the Big 12? And it looks like Tommy Lloyd has the Wildcats in great form, rattling 5 straight and being 5-0 in the conference. So Arizona is climbing up the ladder to be in like the race for the Big 12.
Definitely, man. It's going to be a fun next few weeks. Now, we're going to go back to Iowa State a little bit, and we're going to look at their upcoming schedule, because it's going to be very, very interesting, especially with them being at 5-0. I want to look at their, let's say, we'll look at their next 7 games, and because I just have a feeling that this winning streak could continue for a bit, and I'm going to share my screen with everybody. So if you give me a sec.
No, wait for that. Have you gotten any of that Slam U merch yet from Iowa State?
No. I saw that shirt in the video thing, and I got to get that Slam U shirt. But
I want to get one of those, or like the crew necks. I want to get the crew necks.
Oh, for sure, man. Like, I definitely will be wearing that to the Big 12 tournament, because I'm going again this year.
Nice.
So I definitely am going to be getting merch, bro. All right. Yeah, so, go ahead, bro.
Yeah, no, I was going to say, I was looking here. We see the white T-shirt of Slam U. That, when I saw that, I was like, yes. People were already wearing the Slam U merch, and I am here for it.
I mean, it brings a side that Iowa State we haven't seen. Like, Iowa State really has never been, like, considered, like, cool or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
The Slam U magazine,
yeah,
like that's the awesome,
yeah, like. And was that like your, because I feel like, because you're way older than me, and you probably grew up more with like ordering shoes and stuff off of like magazines. Did you ever have this in the house?
Yes, I didn't have Slam U, but I had East Bay. Like, East Bay is what that was my thing. Like, mm-hmm. Slam U though, like, just in the order of magazines, it was like Slam magazine is more like a basketball thing. But, like, I always had Sports Illustrated growing up, ESPN magazine. So, yeah, Slam U, just being in this and basically in this era, still continuing to, like, evolve themselves and still make Slam U something, like, valuable. Something like, that's absolutely amazing.
All right. So, you have to schedule up. So, let's go ahead and take a look at what Iowa State the fans should expect out of these next few games.
All right, so obviously we have West Virginia coming up on Saturday at 4 p.m. This one is going to be a feisty game. I already know West Virginia is going to be on fire, especially after a tough loss to Houston. They're gonna want to do nothing but beat us and ruin our season. I have a feeling this is going to be tough, but the way I feel about this team is that this team won't die. Because even if you, Cody, even if you play your best game against Iowa State, you still might not win.
Yeah. Yeah, because, I mean, the way Iowa State plays ball is like they look to wear, like they look to test your conditioning. They look to see if you'll wear out, and if you like slip up and wear, like you start to get fatigued, that's when Iowa State really takes advantage. Because it's one thing to like to game plan for Iowa State's defense, another to actually play it and to be able to do so for a full 40 minutes. That's something that I haven't seen too many teams be able to really do. Because there were a lot of times where, yes, Iowa State was down, but because they kept playing, like, they were still in the game, they were staying in the game for much, like, they were tougher for longer, to quote football, to quote Matt Campbell. That's basically what we're seeing out of Iowa State basketball as well. It's just the toughness and the grittiness that this Cyclones team has.
Mm-hmm.
There's always a game, unless you absolutely play, like, your best, and you consistently, you wear down Iowa State, they're going to wear you out.
Exactly. It's like, you're not going to go down without a fight. You're going down with us. But yeah, I mean, like, it's going to be interesting to see with West Virginia, because, like, I don't know when DeVries is coming back. We still haven't heard anything about DeVries coming back. So it should be interesting to see how they respond. And then after that, we have UCF at home. UCF, as you know, notably lost to 51 at home, but to Kansas. And as you know, Kansas didn't look so hot against us last year, last night. So that one should be fairly a decent challenge, but probably not. And then this Arizona trip is going to be interesting, man. Arizona State has been feisty this year, taking some teams to the brink. Arizona, that could be a chance. I guess what you could possibly see, we'll say right now, as an elimination game. But obviously it's still early in the season, but if you can get a leg up in that game, you'll have the leg up until we play each other again in March. So I think these two games right here, and then probably KU and on February 3rd on, I believe that's like on a Tuesday night. Those loom large. Well, that's a Monday night, actually. Sorry.
Yeah, I think that Kansas game should be the big Monday game, considering it's 8 p.m. on ESPN. So that's the big Monday game. But you mentioned, like, this stretch here. Yeah, West Virginia. I mean, that is not a great play. Weird things always happen in Morgantown. But
yeah,
I think with the way Iowa State's playing and how they've looked on the road, especially at Texas Tech, we're going to get everybody's best punch. Everybody's going to be bringing their best shot to try to take us down. And so far, we did it with Texas Tech with how raucous USA was. So I like our chances there. But it wouldn't surprise me if West Virginia was able to right the ship, perhaps like make the game closer than it would look usually on paper against Iowa State.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
So we'll have to see. But I think Iowa State will be able to win that one. They'll win it close like Texas Tech. And then they'll come back home for UCF, and that is literally the first day of classes. So how about that? First day of classes, you get done with that, and then you get to go watch Iowa State probably beat the shit out of UCF.
Mm-hmm.
And then to the Arizona trip, I like our chances against Arizona State. Them being feisty is kind of like what we've been used to. So we know what it's like to go up against teams that are really feisty. So I think, and I don't know if Arizona State is used to seeing a defense, like a team that's built like ours, because I don't think Arizona State has played Houston yet. And there were a lot of people, like, there were a lot of parallels to how Iowa State is built and how Houston's built. So,
right.
Yeah. So that might be a bit of a, I don't know, Arizona State, they'll try, but I think Iowa State will be able to hold away. And then the Arizona game, that should be a really fun one to watch out for. And I mean, if Iowa State does win that one, that'll be great. But I wouldn't be surprised if Arizona protects home court, because I mean, this is going to be a home and home, so it's not the end of the world if Iowa State wants to drop this game, because the Arizona game could be one where Arizona just, Caleb Love could just be on a different level, so maybe like Trey Townsend as well.
Yeah, this is a game I could see us, definitely see us dropping, just for the fact that your body clock is, the use of it being 9:30 Central Time, but you're going to be playing 7:30 Central Time in Arizona. So, like, it's going to, and Arizona, just the way they're their arena setup is that the fans are on top of you, man, and then that place is so, so loud. So, yeah, that's going to be tough. But, yeah, if we find a way to win it, that'd be absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and then after that, Arizona trip, you get to come home. You get on Saturday, you get to play Kansas State. This will be the second whiteout of the year, with the first one being Marquette. So Kansas State will be the second whiteout. It'll be 1 p.m. on ESPN. So I know the amount of hatred between Kansas State and Iowa State fans is going to come to a full head on, like, on the 1st of February.
B2A. B.
Yeah. Wait, because speaking of K-State, you watched that Texas Tech game, was it yesterday?
Yes.
We need to talk about just how ugly this game was for both Tech and Kansas State. This was just, and I mean, this is mostly in the last 5 minutes, so this is why we say it's so ugly, but I mean, it was like an uber-competitive game for about, it was basically a competitive game for a lot of it, but the last 5 minutes is what has everybody watching that game scratching their head wondering, what did we just watch?
Yeah, it was, man, I don't even know how to explain it. It was an interesting last 5 minutes.
Okay, so, I mean, I need to just go through the play-by-play of what happened. So, this is after Coleman Hawkins makes a jumper to tie the game, and then Elijah Hawkins makes a layup to give Texas Tech the lead. So this is just the following sequence of things that happened. Coleman Hawkins missed three. Federico missed layup. Doug McDaniel missed three. Elijah Hawkins turnover. David Castillo missed three. A foul on Moby Ikeguruka. I'm mispronouncing that, sorry.
Bro, that's an insane sequence.
Yeah, okay. No, it gets even worse.
What?
JT Toppin misses a free throw. A Coleman Hawkins turnover from an Elijah Hawkins steal. Chance McMillan misses a three. Tech gets the offensive rebound, but then they turn the ball over. Brendan Housen misses a three. Chance McMillan turns the ball over. David Castillo turns the ball over. Christian Anderson misses a layup. Probably contested, but who knows. Federico picks up a foul. David Castillo misses a layup. Federico gets a block. Elijah Hawkins turns the ball over. Coleman Hawkins misses a three-pointer. And Darian Williams misses a jumper. Christian Anderson gets an offensive rebound. And then finally, Darian Williams made a layup. So that was like the first point scored in a span of 5 minutes from either team.
That's insane. Oh.
Imagine you were sitting there watching that. You're just like, please, somebody just score. I wonder how frustrated both fan bases were having to watch that like 5 minute sequence.
Well, K-State fans are apathetic right now, according to some of them. Some of them just aren't even watching. They're like, I'm not even going to watch for my mental capacity, a lot of people were saying. And I don't blame them.
But nah, I don't either.
I'd be so tuned out from that team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, things are not looking too great in Manhattan. Just, I don't know what's going on, but whatever's happening there, it just does not look good. It doesn't look good.
It doesn't look good at all, man, and I fear that they're going to be stuck with him because I think he has a pretty big buyout right now.
Oh, yeah.
So, yeah, that's...
Man, the downfall of K-State just needs to be... It just needs to be studied on how bad they fell off after that Elite Eight. Like, we know we mentioned multiple times that I believe that Elite Eight team was mostly Marquise Noel and Keontae Johnson. Those two were, the main motives.
They were the catalyst.
But, yeah. But something needs to tell me, like, Cam Carter and Arthur Kaluma both left K-State, and they're both doing fine.
Mm-hmm.
Meanwhile, how do you let both of those two walk?
I mean, they probably saw the red in the wall. They probably saw the dysfunction in there. They're like, yeah, I'm out of here. So they're like, I'm doing what's best for me.
So just trouble in Manhattan and... I mean, I can probably say the same thing about Cincinnati, who finally picked up a Big 12 win against Colorado, who's winless in the conference.
Jeez.
Cincinnati, from preseason, what was it, number 16, I believe?
Yeah.
Now to being 1-4 in conference. I don't know if I'd say they were maybe they were a bit overhyped, because I feel like the way they're a non-con schedule, they weren't built to play teams of the caliber of the Big 12. They weren't built for the physicality and the difficulty of the Big 12 because they're notable. Like, looking at their, the only notable like names out of their non-con would have been Villanova and Dayton. And I mean, I guess your best win would have to be Dayton, but I mean, Dayton, the A-10, they've been on a bit of a slide.
Yeah, that one is looking worse and worse for Cincinnati.
Yeah, so Cincinnati finally picks up their first win in the Big 12 over Winless Colorado. And, I mean, I don't know. Just the way this Big 12 is shaped, and it's just, it looks to just be like three distinct different tiers. You've got Iowa State, Houston, and Arizona right now. They're tier one. I don't know if we say contenders. You have tier two, which would be West Virginia, Kansas, UCF, Texas Tech, Baylor, BYU, Utah, and TCU. That would just be fighting to get into the tournament. And then you have the long shots, which is the rest of the conference. So Cincy, Arizona State, Oklahoma State, Kansas State, and Colorado. Maybe it's just me looking at the records, but I mean, based on how I've watched each of the like these teams play, that's just how it's shaping to be right now.
Well, yeah, and Joe Lunardi came out with his first bracketology the other day, and I believe they only have like seven Big 12 teams in there, which I honestly don't blame them because the Big 12 is down this year.
Oh yeah, no, I'm taking a look at it right now. This was the one that was on Tuesday, so this would be Joe Lunardi's bracket as of Tuesday. So it says, so it's before the games on, yeah, this is before the Big 12 games on Tuesday and Wednesday, because this came out 10:30.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, 9:30 our time. So he has eight teams in the bracket.
Eight teams, okay.
Yeah, since we're on the topic of bracketology. So we'll just take a look here. Eight Big 12 teams. So he has listed a few teams that are on the bubble, but looking on the outside, looking in. So, I mean, if Arizona and Cincinnati can make some moves, maybe they can get back into the bubble.
But yeah.
As of right now, it's not looking great. Talk about the Big 12. I mean, the biggest thing is Iowa State is a one seed, but they are going to be in the West region. So it looks like Alabama may have jumped. But I think this was before Ole Miss beat Alabama. So take this current bracketology with a grain of salt, because these were before the results of Tuesday and Wednesday's games.
Yeah, and I saw the updated ones after these games. I saw Iowa State being the number one seed in the Midwest bracket, which would be nice for us. And that would be nice for me, because, like, that's in Indianapolis, and I definitely would be getting tickets to Indianapolis for the Sweet 16. But, what I also want to do is just do a little quick preview on West Virginia before we get out of here, just so we can just kill two birds with one stone. Mm-hmm. So let's dive into West Virginia real quick.
Here. Anything like stands out to you most about like West Virginia, like any players to look out for?
All right, let me take a look at their roster. Sorry, guys. So so for me, I think. And this is basically based off of the Colorado game. I think one player you got to look out for is Javon Small. He's their leading scorer, leading assist, getter, and he also leads the team in field goal percentage. So I think Javon Small has got to be a guy that you could definitely got to look out for. Don't let him get hot, shooting 42.6% from the field as a whole. And I also think that another guy you got to look out for is Joe Yesufu. Joe Yesufu is also a guy with him that he averages, even though he averages 4.8, he can get on the boards. But he shoots 35% from three. So, you know, not letting him get hot, I think being able to limit him, I also, even though he doesn't have that much production. Those are two guys I think that you can look out for.
Yeah, with Joe Yesufu, yeah, he's only had a couple, like two games that he has like cracked the double digit region. So yeah, so that's something like that can be an advantage for Iowa State. It's just the relative lack of production from Joe Yesufu. So it'll be the most of the attention for sure is going to be on Javon Smalls. But I think somebody else that you might have to look out for is Eduardo Andre and Jonathan Powell. Those are two other guys who can support Javon Small when it comes to scoring.
Right.
And then when it comes to Javon Small also is a really good distributor. So it's just going to be the head of the snake, I think is a great term to use when it comes to West Virginia. Javon Small is the head of the snake. And I think if Iowa State's able to contain in a way, just stop and then chop off the head of the snake, West Virginia may falter just because of, I think, what we saw in Houston when Javon Small, I don't think he was the scorer of that game.
Yeah, I have to let me look at that real quick. Let's see.
Oh yeah, I actually have it up. So
you have it up.
He actually didn't do too bad. Yeah, he had 13 points and 8 assists, and Amani Hansberry had 16 points off the bench. But outside of those two, yeah, it was not a great day. Yeah, it wasn't a great day for Powell, Andre, Sinkrise Harris, Toby Okani, and Joe Yesufu. Because Joe Yesufu was held to 0 points. In that loss to Houston. So it's mainly going to, everything starts and ends with Javon Small. So if Iowa State's able to limit Javon Small's production, they have a great chance of winning it at West Virginia.
I agree. And Iowa State, I just feel like this is with them, with Iowa State, there's not really much analysis I have on Iowa State. With Iowa State, it is just come in, focus. Take care of business. Do what you got to do. Come out with a win. That's really all the analysis I have for Iowa State. It's simple as that.
Yeah, I mean for them, I mean Curtis Jones puts it best. Winning is fun, so just want to keep winning. And I mean, I don't know. You see, his interview on what was it, Field 68, the After Dark.
Mm-hmm.
Dude has fun. I mean, he goes bass fishing. He's basically like a lot of people at Iowa State. Loves to go fishing. He probably would be the kind of guy that would like to go ice fishing.
He probably would. I wouldn't doubt it. Especially going to college at Buffalo.
Yeah, but I mean, this was also highlighted. You talk about him coming from Buffalo. A lot, the story with how Iowa State has, talked about, the transfer portal. I think this Kansas, game also made me, when I deeply looked into the roster construction, it made me realize the difference in how roster construction was built between two different teams. If you look at Kansas, the big name blue blood who has all the money in the world, and they get these players for high price tags, while Iowa State's able to just go to these mid majors, get these players for a bargain. And you look at the different results. That does play a question on how roster construction is built, and I mean that just shows how having the right people that know what they're doing and know how to spend the money effectively can produce great results while having not so great analysis on players and understanding roster composition can lead to not so desired results.
Yeah, I mean, it's here. I'll say this to end the show. You know, with the football team and the basketball team, one of the big differences in what you said, both teams focus a lot on culture. You can be a good player, but are you going to fit in this locker room? Are you willing to do what it takes to win here? Are you doing it to do what it takes to, get here? Yes, you're going to get paid, but are you going to willing to get dive on loose balls? Are you going to be willing to play defense? Because Keyshawn said it himself in the Slam article. He's like, Iowa State ain't for everybody. ISU ain't for everybody. So either you're gonna make it through or you're gonna fold. So I think with roster construction, you gotta have the coaching staff that has the same goals as you do. You also gotta find that type of guy. Obviously, there's a certain region that TJ likes to recruit from, which is the Midwest. And there's a lot of high-nose people, blue-collar people that live in the Midwest. So he's looking for that type of guy, that type of dog. So I think, with this roster construction and where this team is in year four, at a Final Four caliber team in year four, it really, really just puts an emphasis on how good and just how good TJ has been, and how good his elite, his staff is too. It's absolutely amazing.
Yeah, and I mean, hopefully TJ stays for years to come, and I just love, and I mean, me, I was having a debate with, like, talking about, like, having TJ being hung up in the Hall of Fame. We said that he's already, like, with the, because there was a graphic at the end of the Kansas game that talks about, like, TJ Otzelberger tying Johnny Orr for the most wins against an AP top 10 team as Iowa State head coach with 12. So he's already, yeah. In about three and a half years, he's done a lot. He's basically reached Johnny Orr levels. I think the thing that will, like, that can cement a TJ as a great, as a candidate for the Hall of Fame is if TJ gets this Iowa State team to the Final Four and the national championship. If he wins that national
championship. If he wins the national championship, he would be the greatest coach ever.
There's no question.
Like, without a doubt.
So, I mean, there's still a lot left, but this is, life has been good for Iowa State, and in the way, like, this seems to be a sustainable way too as well, so we might be seeing a lot more, and I think Iowa State's just going to become, I think they've become basically, like, this year has felt like Iowa State has taken on the position that Kansas has been in the longest, for the longest of time.
So, I agree.
Just, vibes are good, and boys are, like, always locked in, so I really think this team is truly, like, special, and with that, if they do get to the Final Four, no doubt this team will be the greatest team in the history of the world.
Completely agree. I think they are. I think they will get to the Final Four, and I will find a way to get there. But thank you, everyone, for joining the live stream. You live stream sickos, thank you guys for always watching. We appreciate you guys. If you guys need to reach out to us, I can be found, me and Cody can be found on Twitter. Me, Tyler, can be found at SciTyGuy. Cody can be found on Twitter at Matt Campbell Impersonator. And we can also be found on our fine forms of social media on YouTube. Visit the YouTube page for our video content. We would love some more exposure on that. X, Twitter, Facebook, Instagram, and TikTok. TikTok is blowing up. Visit our TikTok page. So for, oh, and also, if you listen to the podcast, please, we want more ratings. We're trying to do the best we can. We're up and coming. So if you like it, rate us 5 stars and download it. So for Tyler Carter.
And for Cody Van Cielo.
This is a Believe in Iowa State podcast. Roll clones, baby.
Number 2, Iowa State. About to be number 1.